Well, we come to you via Zoom as it is Ask the Mayor week, and we're with the Terre Haute's Duke Bennett. Second week in July already. Thank you very much for being here.
It's good to be here, Joe.
Probably a little different 4th of July this past weekend. How was it there in Terre Haute?
It was kind of quiet. I mean, obviously people were shooting off fireworks. There seemed to be a lot more people having their own personal shows at home. But the entire weekend was pretty quiet. We didn't have the parade, and just other, you know, normal 4th of July activities didn't occur this year. So it was actually kind of peaceful, and I got a lot of things done around the house. So, it worked out for me. And I think from a community perspective, people attended our fireworks show. We went ahead and did that at Fairbanks Park, and it was well attended. So I think that overall it was another step in the process as we move forward. A few more people came out probably, but we're still a ways off from having normal kinds of attendance and things at our local events.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that a little bit later. I wanted to just kind of brush upon, you know, the climate right now, you know, the social climate, the political climate. We have a pandemic climate. The news kind of spattered with racial situations, and you may have seen Bloomington last night with a car and a protest and attack at a local lake. You know, I looked at in Terre Haute at the newspaper and saw about some racial comments, a probe at the Vigo County Jail, and minority students making demands at ISU. What goes through your mind when you're seeing all of this come to the forefront right now?
Well, I mean, I think emotions are high right now, and people's, you know, their radar is up. They're noticing and seeing things, and feel free to, you know, talk about it. I think some of the conversations I've had with local people, sometimes they don't say anything. They don't come out publicly and say they've experienced something. So I think in some ways that's very healthy. I guess what happens on the other half of it, what we do to address it is the biggest concern, I guess. So I would say that, yes, there's a lot of that going on all across the United States. We hear all kinds of stories and some local stories. I still feel good overall about people feeling comfortable to report those things. I mean, we're having more conversations all the time, so that's very good for everyone involved. And I just hope it raises awareness and consciousness of people to, you know, don't say things, don't do things that just, I mean, you don't want anybody to say anything to you, so why would you say something to somebody else? I think sometimes you just need to reset, you know, kind of hit the reset button and think about how you act around other people and what you do, that maybe we can stop some of this stuff. And, you know, I'm all ears, the community is, and so I think there's a lot of people listening right now and being very conscious about what's going on in this environment. So the goal now is to be able to begin to heal and do some things to fix some of these problems. So it's on all of us to do that. And I just think it is a very, there's a lot of different factions going on from one day to the next. Sometimes you hear, well, that's the hot topic of the day. Then it swings back, and then the pandemic jumps back into the mix. And I mean, it is, it's really all over the place. And I just think it's very unique time. So we all need to just, you know, kind of take a big deep breath and say, what can I do to make this a better place? If I can help people from getting the pandemic, let's do that. Let's be conscious about that. Let's make sure that we're reaching out and treating everybody with respect and dignity, so we can kind of deal with that. And so we can multitask. We're all good at that. So I just think with all the different things going on, though, there are a lot of distractions, and we need to stay focused on becoming a better community and a better state and a better United States. So what can we do to participate in that? It's the question of the day.
Right. And I think during this time, community members are really looking up to leaders when things seem to be kind of going all over the place. People want to look to something, and you're the elected leader, one of the, you know, major elected leaders in this state and there in Terre Haute. How can you help lead?
Well, I think, you know, and there's different ways, I guess, depending on what the issue is. But as an example, with some of the protests and things that are going on, we've met with multiple different groups. We've got some people involved from a stakeholder perspective on the body cams that we're reviewing right now. We brought them engaged in that process. We've answered a lot of questions. We've put a lot of misinformation to rest. And so that's been a very healthy exchange. And so I really feel like we're doing a good job from that leadership perspective in that area. The pandemic, you know, it started to settle down a little bit, and I've done a lot of communications to the public. I haven't done as much in the last couple of weeks because just kind of waiting to see, are we going back up? You know, are we going to see a peak? And so that's been a little bit trickier to time some of the communications and ability to do some leadership kind of things. I still think our health department's doing a good job and putting out daily information in the local hospitals. And so we're all kind of part of that. It's just, I don't know where it's going. So that's really a bit of a tricky part right now to kind of predict, what do we say next? What do we push people to do other than social distancing and wear a mask when you're out in public, doing everything that we can to stop the spread? So, you know, I think I met with ISU last week and we talked about pandemic kind of things related to ISU opening back up. So I think we're all doing the things we need to do, but there's just too many unknowns about this. There's no just set thing that we can go out and announce to the public and say, you know, trying to be a leader here, trying to give you some good information when we're getting a lot of mixed messages across the board. So that's a tough one. Just trying to be available to people to answer questions, you know, putting stuff out as best we can. I guess really just trying to be engaged in a way that we're listening. We're trying to answer the questions you may have, but not trying to force something out there that I don't know whether is, you know, accurate or not about where this is going. So that's just been the hardest part about this whole COVID-19 thing.
How are the COVID numbers there in Vigo County? Are they going up, going down, steady?
Oh, they're trickling up. You know, if you look at one chart and show where we started with one and we're up to 236 now, sometimes people look at that and say, wow, it's going uphill. But when you look at kind of the peaks, we've had a couple of peaks and now we're having a little bit of a peak, but we've gone up 5 or 6 in the last week, or last 4 or 5 days. So it's not anything significant, but I keep watching for that, you know, where it really starts trending upward. I think if people continue to just be smart about this, there's no reason for you not being able to go out, but use common sense. Try to wear a mask, do that social distancing, and eventually that will trail off. So we're still at 236. I feel really good about that based on our population, and this has been going on since March. But where does it go from here? That I don't know.
Are you still on the state schedule, the governor's 4.5 stage in terms of reopening?
Yes, we're following that to a T. You know, we were going to open up City Hall and do some things this past Monday. So we opened up City Court, but we're leaving the rest of the building closed. And we're kind of looking towards July 20th when this next phase hopefully expires on the 18th of July when we open up on Monday. I hope to have City Hall open, but, you know, I guess we'll see what happens over the next 2 weeks.
You know, I know there's, of course, still some concerns about reopening, but the Terre Haute Summer Fest begins Friday. So we're talking what, rides, carnival, how will...
It's just a carnival and their food vendors. We're not having any of the normal things that we have at Fairbanks Park. We used to have music and food vendors and art, you know, and crafts and things. We're not doing any of that. So it's just the carnival. They have done a great job of putting a plan in place to deal with social distancing and asking people to wear masks. And of course, all their staff will be. I mean, it's, you know, it's part of the 4.5 plan. So it's perfectly fine for it to be open. We just, the park board and I agreed with that they felt like we ought to do something and offer something to the public that we felt would be safe. And being outdoors with that, being just a carnival only, and their couple of food trailers that they're doing, following the governor's plan, the health department is blessed what they're doing locally. And so we feel good about that. I don't think it's going to create any issues for our community.
You know, we're getting a lot of questions in the newsroom from people worried about an influx of students from all over the world coming back to college towns, such as, you know, there in Terre Haute, you know, only about a month. It's, you know, hard to believe, but till August and they'll start coming back. And I know you touched upon this. You said that you were in meetings with ISU administration, but people feel like it's the perfect storm for a big resurgence of cases. Yeah. Is there anything that you can help answer these questions from people?
You know, that's a hard one too, because I agree with that 100%. You're going to have people coming from areas that maybe they're not a hotbed at all. They come here and they get exposed to it and take it back when they go home on the weekend or, you know, for the first break. Or you have people coming in here that's bringing it from a hotbed that adds to our mix that, you know, could be very have a very negative impact. I think the college towns should be concerned. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. Any which way you look at it, we're going to be mixing people up. They're going to be coming, as you said, from internationally, all over the United States and all over Indiana when they come back to school. And so whether they've been exposed to it and don't know it, or come here and get exposed to it when they weren't where they came from, man, I don't know what that looks like. And so I think we're going to have to be really cautious about the social distancing and the mask thing is so important. But at ISU themselves, they're going to have to really watch that when you're putting people in classrooms and you're having athletic teams get together and where you have that close proximity. I don't think there is any specific thing you can do other than really focus on students being conscious of that. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I hope and pray that it's not any significant at all. And we're going to look at this and say, wow, this worked out really great. But on the other hand, it could have a huge impact on us locally. And so that's what we're having these conversations about, to try to figure out, is there something that we've missed so far? Is there something we're not ready for? How do we make sure that we, if you find somebody that does test positive, they're isolated, and all those things that you've never had to do before. You know, we had a little bit of it in the spring, but when you shut everything down, that kind of dealt with it. Here, we're going to be opening up, and I don't see anybody shutting it down, you know, in the first week if you start seeing an uptick. So I don't have all the answers. I don't think anybody does. I just think we got to be as prepared as possible for this influx of students. At, you know, St. Mary's, Rose Holman, and ISU, and Ivy Tech, all, they're going to be people coming here from all over.
Federal executions are scheduled for next week at the federal prison there in Terre Haute. There's some delay requests from attorneys to move those to next year due to the pandemic. But, you know, now the nation also will be looking at Terre Haute, would be the first federal execution since 2003. How does the city prepare for something like this?
You know, I hope it's pretty uneventful. You know, it's just part of the business that they are required to do, and it just happens to be in Terre Haute. So it's one of those things that we've known it's going to happen again at some point. We just didn't know when, and we'll see if it happens on Monday or not, if a court jumps in there. I think that it's really tricky to say how many people are going to come out to protest, as an example. You know, so we've been preparing almost for a year because this was supposed to have happened quite some time ago. The local law enforcement working with the prison, talking about staging areas for protesters on both sides, those that are pro the death penalty and those that are opposed to the death penalty, keeping those groups apart, yet giving them access to the prison grounds to be able to, you know, adequately protest. All those things are in place, you know, and practices have been done and walkthroughs. So I feel really good about the preparation. You just don't know how many people are actually going to show up and whether it'll be peaceful or not. So I'm hopeful that it will be. We'll get through this, and, you know, there'll be more to come down the road. I just, you know, it's just one of those things that we just have to deal with, and there's a lot of unknowns to that too. But I think we're ready as a community, and I think the Bureau of Prisons has done a great job along with our local law enforcement to deal with anything that may arise.
I know we're almost out of time. I saw this on the AP a few weeks ago and kind of took note of it. Wanted to ask you about this social service agency selected a location there for a day center for homeless people.
There's a center.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the building they chose? And I think the city is also contributing to it.
Yes. We've been looking at something like this for a couple of years, but didn't really have a funding source available. And so a local group, Reach Services, who do a lot of different things related to serving people, but one of them being trying to do more for the homeless population. We needed a place to be able to have people go and hang out at during the day, because a lot of times they're sitting on benches, hanging out in the park, hanging out at the bus station, at the library, keeping cool, you know, getting hydrated, those kind of things. And we've always felt like there needed to be a place when it's really hot and when it's really cold for them to go and access services, be able to maybe have a locker there or something to store some of their materials that they have, their personal possessions. But we just didn't really have the place or the funds to do it. So along comes COVID-19 and some extra HUD money came to Terre Haute to help us deal with the homeless population was one of the targeted areas. And so there is a building that they have acquired that is formerly a nursing home, not a large one, a fairly small one, that's almost a perfect fit just to the east of our downtown area. That's a perfect location for the homeless to access. Reach Services will come in and operate the facility once it's remodeled. The city of Terre Haute is providing $300,000 through this HUD emergency grant to be able to do this project. And then that will become a drop-in center. So all day they'll be able to go there, get a shower, cool off, warm up in the winter, and then directly access social services there to get them plugged into whatever services they need to hopefully help them get back into a home. So I think it's going to be a great fit for the community. It's not a place where they're going to sleep. We already have homeless shelters, but we needed a place for those that aren't part of those shelters or can't be because they've been kicked out, but a place to be able to access services very easily. So I'm excited about it, looking forward to get it going. Hopefully, if the goal is to have it open this fall when the weather turns cold again and be ready for the winter.
And the building was a former nursing home?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where at?
It's just off of Poplar Street on 15th Street. So just south of Poplar on 15th Street. It's really easy access. And so I think it's going to be kind of a win-win for a lot of different people here to meet a need we've had for some time.
That's all I had for today. But as always, I'd like to ask you if you have any announcements or things you'd like to add today.
No, you know, it's been a crazy year. I think we would all attest to that. For me personally, you know, I had surgery at the end of February that was pretty significant on my shoulder. Then we've had the COVID-19, and then we've had the issues with the racial issues and the thing that happened in Minneapolis that's triggered a lot of things, you know. And so some ways when you go look back a little bit and reflect, you think sometimes you got to have things like this to come along to make you be better at what you are. And I think COVID-19 has made us stronger in a lot of different ways. I think we're going to address a lot of racial issues in our community that people have brought to our attention. Not a lot. I don't want to say it like it's a serious problem, but opening up and listening and letting those folks be heard that have issues. We're already on the track to dealing with some things that I'm excited about. Who knows what the second half of the year brings? You know, are we going to have locusts come down upon us? Are we going to have an earthquake? I mean, who knows? But I think that we are stronger for getting, you know, working our way through this. I keep saying we see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we have new things that pop up every day. I think we're just a resilient community, and we need to be ready for what the future brings us. And this has made us stronger. And we'll see. Hopefully the second half of the year is more normal. From a lot of perspectives, we're working on our budget and our finances. You know we're going to lose a little bit of money, so I got to figure out how to deal with that. But it's kind of a moving target in a way that, you know, once you kind of solve one thing, there's some other residual pieces that I feel really good about that we're addressing, and really love the communication right now. And I'm excited about the second half of the year.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next month.
Hey, thank you, Joe.